Hello Mark, thanks very much for taking the time speak to Sonic Scotland. I wonder if you could give us an insight into your own experience within the music industry.
Sure, I mean I started out like I presume most people do, being in bands. This was probably through the 90s into the early 2000s. Playing lots of gigs, putting out some records ourselves, and generally enjoying it. And then at some point, around about early 2000s, kind of, not deliberately, almost coincidentally, moved into management and started managing bands. And the bands I managed had more success, it depends how you define it of course, but they had more success than my band did. And so I moved into that area. Tour managed as well, really enjoyed that, travelling and seeing different places and seeing how the kind of industry works and the live side of things. And while I was doing that, I was also studying a Masters in Popular Music Studies, interested in the kind of sociology of music as well as the actual industry of it. Yeah, I still kind of keep my hand in with the management, but I kind of moved into the teaching side of it. Did a project that was involved radio plugging, and I did that in conjunction with Chemical Underground for about 9 months a year, something like that, and then started to dabble for a living, basically, and that was it.
The way you've described it, you've travelled far and wide and seen that impact in other countries from people that maybe originally made their music here or formed their bands here. I don't know whether you can give us a few examples of that.
At one point, around about 2006, first time I'd been to Brazil, I went with a band in the 1990s. It was actually a cultural exchange organised by Brahma, the beer company. I guess it was a kind of marketing thing for them too. We actually did a couple of things, recorded with a Brazilian artist called Neru, percussionist predominantly, and also recorded with a band called CSS, a Sao Paulo based band there. That was really interesting because obviously it was specifically set up as a cultural exchange. It wasn't something that just kind of happened, it was deliberately so. And it was just kind of interesting being there, being with 1990s, who hadn't released anything yet in Brazil, or indeed, I don't even think the first album had come out at that point, I'm pretty sure it hadn't. We went over, and what was kind of interesting, it was the time kind of MySpace was king of the social networking. Went over, did a show in Sao Paulo, and there was maybe about 300 people there. We kind of expected maybe 20 or something like that. And the four songs that were on the band's MySpace, the people at the gig knew the words and were singing along, and I found that quite fascinating. The records hadn't been released anywhere, and what was traditional at that point, the traditional route of getting your music heard by people, you know, that hadn't been facilitated yet, so I found that quite interesting. A few years ago, I took Wooden Box, signed to Electric Honey, took them to Berlin for the Carnival der Kulturen, which is a carnival of cultures. That was fantastic because it was different, not just musical cultures, but there was a lot of music from anywhere you could imagine. And somewhere in the midst of that was Wooden Box, kind of, so to speak, representing Scotland. It's an interesting thing because culture is everything, really, isn't it? It's kind of everything that happens and influences things. But there's also specific events or projects that are designed to integrate cultures. And I suppose both of those examples, there was a deliberate but kind of knowing cultural aspect to them. And then, of course, going to Australia or Japan or wherever, with bands on tour, there is still that. I mean, if you're a Scottish band, people kind of know of you as that. So, yeah, so I guess I've had some experience of that directly in terms of being involved with specific cultural events or indirectly just travelling around and noticing the effect. I mean, similarly, going to South by Southwest, again, we Wooden Box, playing the kind of Creative Scotland showcase there, you know, it's specifically Scottish, so that has an effect. I don't think negatively. And likewise there, actually, you'll get the Dutch music industry set up a showcase or a networking event, German music industry, French and all that. So there is a kind of idea of culture based around national identity. I've never really thought about it, but since you asked me about it, I'm just thinking about it now. I saw a bit of it anyway on my travels in the kind of music industry.
Why do you think that Scotland has consistently punched above its weight, both in the UK market but also internationally? And what do you think would continue to support that trend? I mean, you mentioned some of the educational and deliberate cultural exchanges.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting question. One pretty obvious answer is the language thing. When I was at uni, I did my master's dissertation in Hamburg in the early 60s. British musicians who went over to Hamburg, most famously the Beatles. But what I was particularly interested in was the Scottish musicians. Alex Harvey, and he speaks about it in an interview which you'll be able to find on YouTube. It's well worth watching, it's really good. Been interviewed in 1981, and he says that Hamburg was to the British beat boom what New Orleans was to jazz, and he speaks about it as a sort of formative ground, an apprenticeship or something like that, him going playing there. And what he was saying was, I was playing there with the likes of Gene Vincent, Ray Charles, all these musicians. But how that had came about was, Hamburg entrepreneurs wanted rock and roll. In the 50s, rock and roll had sort of just kind of exploded, and first of all in America and then in the world. And they wanted rock and roll bands, but they couldn't afford the Americans. Scotland was a lot nearer, or Liverpool was a lot nearer. So these people could sing in English, which is the language of rock and roll. Now this is of course not the only reason, but it's a starting point, I think. The sort of mother tongue of it is English, really, and that's because of, I think, the influence of American music first. It's a pretty broad question, there's a lot to it. The second thing, I suppose, there might be cultural perceptions. People find Scotland interesting or like it, or I certainly know, again, from being in Germany a lot, that there's a perception, perhaps somewhat romanticised, of Scottish culture. It's been something kind of interesting, fascinating, historic, all of these kind of things. Germans like to visit Scotland and go hiking and all that. And there again, you'll find Scottish musicians. Amy MacDonald's a big example of that. She's huge there, but Scottish musicians generally do pretty well there. So maybe that's something to do with it. But also, perhaps Glasgow. Not only Glasgow, though, there's been great musicians come from Edinburgh, from Dundee, and from various places. But Glasgow, I think, is the most important city for popular music in Scotland. And perhaps, again, going back to the stuff I did about Hamburg, Glasgow's, there's some similarities, certainly in the fact that it's a port city. You get the influence of music from America, rock and roll, country music, soul music, all of that. It's also got a lot of students, which I think kind of helps, because there you tend to have audiences. That's a good thing. Therefore, it's got venues to cater for that kind of desire to listen to music. Glasgow particularly has got a set of circumstances that make it really conducive to being a music city, and it becomes an attraction to people from other parts of Scotland. And so you get a kind of scene emerging, not a scene in terms of one specific genre of music, but a scene in terms of loads of different types of music, but a kind of place where that can congregate, and there can be cross-fertilisation or something like that of ideas. And then you get kind of things like labels setting up as well. So it might be something to do with that. But it is a fascinating question, because I kind of do think it's true that Scotland has produced... Although I will say this, I think during the 60s, there wasn't so many... huge Scottish artists, certainly not based in Scotland. I mean, the biggest ones were probably people like Lulu, Donovan, I guess, but again, I think they were both London-based. I know for sure that a band like The Poets, who were from the Glasgow area, I think the distance between Glasgow and London kind of, for them, impacted negatively. I mean, Liverpool to London at the time, in terms of travel, was far away, but we were very far away from what was the epicentre. London is still, I suppose, the most important city in the UK for music, by far actually, but I think even more so then. And I think it was difficult for Glasgow bands to get that national exposure, or Scottish bands to get that national exposure during the 60s. I think that's why it took a wee bit of time for bands to come through, and it was really into the 70s. You get Scottish bands that had kind of huge success, Lulu notwithstanding, right enough, Donovan, the examples I've given. I'm pretty sure there's others, but I think it was easier for bands from London, certainly, but Liverpool, Manchester, even Newcastle with the Animals, there wasn't the same kind of thing with Glasgow. I think that Scotland has produced lots of great music, but even kind of just as importantly, other parts of the industry, great labels and stuff like that have emerged, and I think there's a kind of infrastructure here that's set up, that's obviously at a much smaller scale than London, but nevertheless is kind of thrives, and it's various genres of music, dance music and house music, as well as kind of indie or rock related genres.
Currently, you can pick any month of the year and go and see perhaps a 90s artist and they're performing some of their original stuff, but also performing their new releases. And I think we enjoy that as a culture. So whether you think that's something that would continue on into the future from bands from the 80s, 90s?
Sure, I don't see why not. I mean, as long as there's audiences, that's the main thing, is there are people that want to hear this, and as long as that remains the case, then I think it will. You know, quite a while ago, a couple of decades ago really, popular music moved away from being only a thing for the youth or teenagers. It moved beyond that to being something that people enjoyed for their whole life. And I don't see that changing, I don't see why it would. So yeah, I definitely think that that will continue. And, you know, so long as people want to go to gigs.
I just wondered what you thought personally would be the cultural impact of the independence vote in September 2014, whether it's yes or no, and how you think that might affect the cultural scene in Scotland?
It's an interesting question because it asks a question about what is culture, and the two different things that I think about are cultural impact, as in what will happen culturally, how will people react to it, and what will they do? Will they make different kinds of music, or make the same music? And also, will government policy change? Because essentially that is what has been voted for, a change of government. And in independent Scotland, we don't know for sure. Most people seem to have think they've got an idea, but we don't know for sure what that government will be. And it could be a socialist, more socialist government. It could be, you know, it's difficult to predict entirely. So the question then is, will musicians and artists and people generally react in a way that changes the culture? And the other question is, will the government bring in new policies to try and change the culture? So there's two different parts to that. Again, maybe in the last 20 years, 15 years even, not that long, government policy started to take note of culture. The primary reason's been that it brings in, boosts the economy, it creates jobs, creates wealth. Whether or not the vote, whatever way it goes, how it will change Scottish culture, I think it probably would, but it's whether or not that change comes from people's reactions to being independent, or whether the government changes in a way that makes government policy change towards culture. But one thing's for sure, Scottish music and you know, the film industry and other aspects of the cultural industries bring in a lot of revenue, create a profile for Scotland in terms of things like tourism. And it's an interesting question, and one of many interesting questions raised by the whole independence referendum. I think naturally there would be changes. People want change or don't want change, you know. I think it will have a cultural impact, but I can't predict what the impact will be or what direction it will go in. Sometimes people have tended to try and suggest that those people who are interested in independence are somehow uber Scots or something like that, but I don't think it is about that. I don't think it's about that for most people at all. I think it's a question of whether or not people want the type of government we've got to be different. To use that sort of bit of a crass example, I don't see us all suddenly listening to Jimmy Shand all the time, even though I absolutely love Jimmy Shand, and I'm not joking there. And actually, when I was thinking about what I said earlier about, you know, it was difficult maybe the 70s for Scottish artists to get, well, Jimmy Shand was pretty successful, you know. So I kind of take that back a wee bit. I think it would change. I think it could be really interesting what happens. The political changes are probably going to be the major thing. Of course, that affects culture. I do notice with interest that within the music sector in Scotland, particularly Chemical Underground, Mogwai, recent Garden article with Pictish Trail, not all of them, one person from Pictish Trail, somebody from the Beta Band, also Finlay MacDonald as well, they all spoke about independence and said in different ways that they would be in favour of it, and I think there is a perception that it would be good for Scottish culture. But I guess it depends on what government would come in and what their cultural policy would be. I can't imagine any government not thinking of Scottish culture as an asset. On the other hand, you could argue as well that maybe you don't want too much government intervention in culture, you know. But on the other hand, you kind of want the money. I know myself, I've had money for bands that I've managed for my own band as well, from Arts Council and Creative Scotland. So you do want the money from them, but you don't want any meddling. I guess I don't have a clear-cut answer. There would be cultural changes, but I think the people are voting for political changes first, and foremost. It would be fascinating to see how it panned out. I definitely couldn't see it being a negative thing. Culturally, although I think our culture is fine as it is, it's something that I wouldn't look upon with any sort of angst, thinking, oh, what could happen here, you know, in terms of the Scottish culture. I'm sure we'll adapt.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Mark, for your time, and you've given Sonic Scotland quite a lot to think
about. I've given myself a lot to think about.
Thanks again.
No problem.